Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please lay Ladybug lay your message down after the tone.
Hi, Flora. I think this is a factual emergency. Every fall, I get ladybugs coming into my house. They're everywhere. What are they doing? Why are they here? Help me.
Hello.
Hi, Anna. It's Flora from ELT.
Hi, Flora.
It sounds like you've spotted some house guests.
Yes, I did. Everywhere.
Tell me about them.
Well, every season when it gets cold, they're all over, particularly my bathroom and dining room area. I walk around, I barely almost step on one. I look at the window, there's one in the corner. I look at my mirror, there's one on the side.
I feel like it's like a horror film. Like everywhere you turn your head, there's a ladybug staring at you.
It is exactly like that. And I'm sure if I was terrified of them, it would be terrible.
Where do you live?
It's King of Prussia area in Pennsylvania. And I live like next to a miniature forest. Lots of poison ivy and trees.
And ladybugs.
And ladybugs.
Are you a ladybug fan generally?
Yeah, they're cute. My little one, he's just turned two and he used to just wake up like, "Ladybug, where's ladybug? Where ladybug?" I'm like, okay, let's go looking.
What does he do with them?
Just try to pick them up. But if you have ever picked one up, they goo you.
Excuse me?
They put yellow goo on you.
Have you noticed anything about this secretion?
Now that you say it so disgustingly. What is it? Maybe I don't want to know, but I kind of want to know.
What else do you want to know?
Well, I would like to know how they get into my house. And then I get really concerned that they just come here to die because I don't know how you get in or how you get out. Like, they're odd. They're just odd. Like, why are you here? And I know a lot of people get them and they call it an infestation. So they must have a lot more than I do. But I don't know.
Yeah.
You say that like you know something.
Yeah, we have a lot to tell you today.
Oh, Jesus.
And Anna, we found just the Beatlemaniac to bug for answers.
My relationship with ladybugs is deep and profound.
This is biologist and beetle researcher Ainsley Seago.
Hi, Anna.
Hello.
And she has studied your roomies.
Good. I need answers.
So Ainsley is a curator at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History in Pittsburgh. She says that even though ladybugs show up everywhere on children's books, tea towels, gardening gloves, we get them all wrong.
Like we would generally think of them as being red with black spots, but there's actually a huge diversity.
Ooh.
There are thousands of different ladybug species.
About 6,000 described species, yeah.
How? What's the difference? Spots?
Yeah, their shells are going to shock you. We're sending you a picture, and we'll put it on Instagram at ELT Show.
Oh, my God. That can't be right. They're so beautiful. I did not expect this. Is that a fuzzy one? Am I looking at a fuzzy one?
Yes.
What?
There are ladybugs that are fuzzy. There are ladybugs that are smooth. There are iridescent ladybugs.
There's a bright blue one, one that looks like a black pearl.
There are ladybugs that have an almost Batman-like pattern on their back.
There's a, I don't even know what that is. It looks like an alien eye. there's very few of them with actual spots, surprisingly.
Yeah. They're not just red and black and found all over.
This is insane.
So basically, we've got them wrong in terms of how they look. But let's talk personality. What character traits do you associate with ladybugs?
Quiet, nibbling type. Just sitting, nibbling, like a gentle little soul. There can't be angry ladybugs. There's no way.
That's what we think.
Oh, boy.
The cutesy polka dot world of ladybugs conceals a sinister, dark underbelly.
Pardon me?
I don't want to bug you out, Anna, because I know they're living with you. They're in your bathroom, watching you slowly brush your hair.
Oh, God.
But here's how Ainsley, who has spent years studying these creatures, describes ladybugs.
Terrifying, rapacious, voracious, brutal, appalling, horrifying, ineluctable, inescapable, unstoppable, ravaging, harbinger of messy doom.
Terrifying and brutal? What are we doing here?
IRL LBs are hungry, hungry hellions. These lady killers live to slaughter.
That's what the majority of ladybugs are doing.
They are known for absolutely destroying entire communities of garden-dwelling insects, like aphids.
If you are an aphid, they're going to just, you know, chomp you up and suck out your body parts. They are ferocious predators, ripping aphids limb from limb. They're vicious.
Okay. Kind of makes me worry.
Well, that's not the only thing you have to worry about. Remember that yellow goo you found on your hand?
Yes.
Do you want to know what that is?
Okay.
They do something called reflex bleeding.
What?
Beetlejuice.
If they get alarmed or poked, they can kind of pop open their joints, usually at their knees, and let out a little drop on each leg of this hemolymph, which is basically their blood.
Oh my God, that's so gross though.
It smells not great. It tastes much worse.
They are bleeding poisonous yellow blood that stinks on demand.
You got it. They are bleeding at you.
No. Just no.
It's a horror show.
It's terrible. I like the theory of it though.
What part?
Just kind of doing what I need to do all over my enemies. So how do they get in? How these little creatures get inside my house? And why?
Okay, so Ainsley says the ladybugs invading your house are most likely a type of LB called Harmonia axoridis.
They are the species who most likes to come inside your house. So when someone says, there's beetles in my house, they look like ladybugs. 9 times out of 10, that's going to be Harmonia axoridis.
Could we call it ha-has? You know, for Harmonia axoridis?
You could.
Are you down with ha-has?
Yeah, I like ha-has.
So we asked Ainsley how they were getting in to your house. And she said that they're really good at finding tiny cracks. Cracks you wouldn't even notice.
Oh my God. I'm going to need a hot glue gun.
And Ainsley says ha-has hole up in your house because they, like a lot of organisms, tend to slow their metabolism in the winter. And there's a word for it.
They become torpid. They slow down and don't move much because it's so cold.
It's kind of like hibernating. And they need to find a protected place to do it.
They want to shelter somewhere. And in their native habitat of East Asia, they would typically go find shelter in caves or nooks or crannies, often up in the mountains. But if you are living in Pennsylvania, it's going to start getting cold, and a whole bunch of you will start flying towards the closest thing you can find that looks sort of like a rocky outcrop. And around here, that's usually things like lighter colored houses. So if you have a house that's white or tan or yellow, you are a little bit more likely to be invaded by ladybugs.
Whoa. I do have a white house. Wow. Is that why? That's why they like my house, because it's a white color?
It reminds them of their cliff.
Memo to self, paint the house black.
Okay, Anna, you also mentioned infestations.
Oh, Lord.
They overwinter in huge numbers.
How large?
Tens of thousands.
In people's homes?
Oh, yes. They like to aggregate.
But how? What? Where?
Do you have an attic where tens of thousands of ha-has could be hiding in a ha-ha hole?
Oh my god, I do. Oh, and there's like a little ventilation for the roof. Oh, I bet they all go in there. They're all up there, aren't they?
If you want to stick your head up in the attic with a flashlight and just take a check, go for it. But it's cold up there in winter. They're torpid. They're not going to be pooping everywhere and reflex bleeding if you don't bother them. So they're just kind of hanging out until it gets warmer outside and it's safe to leave.
Okay.
Ainsley said the ladybugs that you find crawling around your house probably just woke up because they got too warm. But they will go back into torpor mode if you pop them in a cool cranny. Like a garage is a perfect spot.
Ooh, good to know.
And if you find them crawling around your house in the springtime, just turn out the lights and open your windows.
They will go towards the light. You can play soothing New Age music at them if you like, and it makes you feel better. But they will find their way back outside.
Oh my God, that's so helpful. I love it. I'm going to collect them all next season and just put them in the garage. Bye. And then when it gets warm out, we'll all get a little garden together. I'll start an army.
Anna's army.
I like it.
I can just see you. Like a red jumpsuit. You've got a trail of ladybugs following you, firing goo at your enemies.
Perfect. You know, now that I think about it, I'm all right with that. I like them. Vicious, pretty little things.
After the break, some pretty vicious big things.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
Up next, a question from Mike in North Carolina.
My question is, you hear about wolves howling at the moon. Is that something wolves actually do? Thanks.
Do wolves howl at the moon? We hollered at wolf biologist Thomas Gable for an answer.
Howling primarily serves a communicative purpose for wolves, so they can communicate with other pack members and then with wolves that are not in their packs.
They might communicate something like, "Hey, Sarah, we're over here," or "Stay the fuck away, Todd." And because wolves howl so much, and we'll get to the moon croons in a bit, wolf researchers can use howls to figure out where wolves are.
Researchers go out into the field, howl, and wolves will howl back at times.
Wolves will howl back to human howls?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And pretty bad ones, too. You know, not even, like, good howls.
This is a bona fide scientific data collection method. It's called a howl survey. Tom does his howl surveys deep in the woods in northern Minnesota, in Voyageurs National Park. And he said the best time to do them is at night. The winds have died down, the howls are easier to hear. So after dinner, Tom and his team grab their headlamps and their bug shirts and hit the trail.
Typically, the sun's coming down. And there's sort of this relief of this cooler air that's kind of set in. And the grass starts getting covered with dew. And so your feet start kind of getting wet as you're walking through it, and the dew is rubbing off on your legs and your pants. But it feels kind of good as well because it's just been a hot day outside. Typically, there's mosquitoes and some deer flies. You hear birds calling. You hear frogs and nearby ponds. But when it gets dark and a little bit cooler, oftentimes the deer flies totally go away, and the mosquitoes can start to quiet down. It just gets so quiet. And you're not moving, and you're just listening really intently.
Listening for howls on the horizon. And this is what it sounds like. This is an actual recording from one of Tom's howl surveys. Over the course of the night, they'll hike deeper and deeper into the woods, howling and listening for responses, hoping to triangulate where the wolves are bedded down.
So when we howl, we'll hear just this eruption come out of the woods. A lot of the pups, which have these sort of high-pitched howls and yips, and then the adults, which are a lot deeper. And it's really quite cool to hear that sort of chorus howl. That's when there's multiple individuals howling together at one time. They can seem like they're right there. You sort of have this feeling of like there's something bigger out in the woods than you are. You feel vulnerable, even though you're really not. Wolves are not really a danger to people at all, but there's just sort of this primordial feeling of, whoa, like there's a bunch of predators right over there on that hill.
So after all his nights stalking wolves in the woods, Thomas knows when wolves howl and why. So do they howl at the moon?
Do they howl at the moon? Well, of course, there are probably times where they do howl when there's a full moon.
The thing is, wolves howl a lot. They howl in the morning and in the afternoon. They howl in the evening. And yes, underneath the moon.
But does the moon cause them to howl? I would say no.
If you have a question you can't get out of your head, howl at us, 833-RING-ELT, 833-RING-ELT.
This episode was produced by Kayla Stokes, Hadley Robinson, Stephanie Werner, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Doug Barron. Our fact-checker is Nicole Pasulka. Our editors are Jorge Just and Caitlin Kenny. Music by Dara Hirsch, Catherine Anderson, Bobby Lord, Dan Brunel, Emma Munger, Lincoln Grounds, Richard Rayner, and John Kimbrough. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. Every Little Thing is a Gimlet production and a Spotify original podcast. I howl at the moon. Ooh. Goodbye.
Can I hear a good howl?
If I do, my dog's in the room and he's going to go crazy. So.
Well, I'd love to hear your dog as well.
Okay, sounds good. Here we go. How was that?